प्रकार की। ही वॉज अ ग्रेट एम्परर एंड पोसेस्ड ऑल द ऑपुलेंसेस ऑफ हिज अक्वायर्ड किंगडम। ही वॉज सो एग्जॉल्टेड दैट ही वॉज इंक्रीजिंग द प्रेस्टीज ऑफ द पांडव डायनेस्टी। व्हाई डिड ही गिव अप एवरीथिंग टू सिट डाउन ऑन द बैंक ऑफ द गैंजेस एंड फास्ट अंटिल डेथ। पपोट महाराज परीक्षित वॉज द एम्परर ऑफ द वर्ल्ड and all the seas and oceans, and he did not have to take the trouble to acquire such a kingdom by his own effort. He inherited it from his grandfathers Maharaj Yudhishthir and brothers. Besides that, he was doing well in the administration and was worthy of the good names of his forefathers. Consequently, there was nothing undesirable in his opulence and administration. Then why should he give up all these favorable circumstances and sit down on the bank of the Ganges fasting till death? This is astonishing, and therefore all were eager to know the cause. Shri Radha Mani Bihari ki Shri Gavnita ki Om Ajnanat Nirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhu Anmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhittam स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामक्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतम् परिजना सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान् सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमाओम इष्टपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। He was a great emperor and possessed all the opulences of his acquired kingdom. He was so exalted that he was increasing the prestige of the Pandu dynasty. Why did he give up everything to sit down on the bank of the Ganges and fast until death? In the previous verse it is mentioned that Maharaj Parikshit is a great first-class devotee of the Lord, and that his birth and activities are all wonderful. Please tell us about him. So Maharaj Parikshit, although emperor of the whole world, he renounced everything and went to the banks of the Ganges to hear the Bhagavat from Shukadeva Goswami. Here the surprise is expressed how such a person with such opulence, like being the king of the world and coming in such a great lineage of the Pandavas, why should he renounce everything and go to the forest in this way? In modern times, people, as soon as they hear the word renunciation, they become frightened. Nobody wants to talk of renunciation. In fact, sometimes when brahmacharis or sannyasis go to preach, people see that dress and run away out of fear that they will make us also renounce everything of the world. They will make us leave everything and give up everything, and we have to also dedicate our life like them. People are very fearful. But in the Vedic life you find just the opposite. People are very eager to renounce, like you find Maharaj Parikshit. If a beggar in the corner of the street were to say, "Now I am going to become a Sadhu Baba," there is nothing great in that. But if somebody is the king of the whole world, possessing all these opulences, and then he says, "I am going to give up everything and I am going to fast until death and hear the message of Supreme Personality of Godhead," that is something very unique and special. And that was the position of Parikshit Maharaj. He had everything, but he was giving it up. That is why he became a talk of the town. Otherwise nobody would be talking about it. If somebody were to be a beggar, because a beggar has nothing to renounce. We find a similar instance in Bhagavatam when there is a talk about the great king Bharat Maharaj. There is a verse which says, "Yodustyajan kshitisuta svajanartadaran pratyam shriyam suravarai sadayavalokam." So it is said, pratyam shriyam means the demigods were praying to Goddess of Fortune Lakshmi that this king Bharat Maharaj has so much wealth, we don't have even a fraction of it. So they were actually praying to have a part of the wealth of Bharat Maharaj. Such was his opulence. He was the king of the whole world. So even demigods, they occasionally get the glance of Lakshmiji and get prosperity in their lives. But King Bharat was flooded with opulence and prosperity in his life. But then it is said, "Such Bharat Maharaj, what did he do? Yo dustyajan." Dustyajan means very difficult to give up. It is explained, Dara means the wives, Sutan means the children. In another verse it is said, Suhrad Rajyam Hridi Sprishaha. All the well-wishers, all those who loved him, friends and relatives, and all the treasury, Suhrad Rajyam Hridi Sprishaha. All these things are very touching to the heart of a person. Because one becomes deeply entangled in this world when one is indulging in these things. Every king is thinking about how many elephants I have, horses I have, infantry, soldiers I have, how much kingdom has expanded, how many people are my friends, relatives, Antapur, the queens and the children. And also when one is a king, then one gets a lot of respect and attention of all the people. He's in the limelight. He's the main person in the whole country. So the joy, the gratification of the senses that comes from such a position cannot be explained. But such a king, for him to give up the post of the king is not a very easy thing. But how Bharat Maharaj renounced it? It is said, Jahau, he gave it all up. How? Yuvaiva Malavad Uttama Shloka Lalasa. He gave it up exactly as one would go to the lavatory. After passing stool, one would come out of the lavatory. One would not even look back, because it's a dirty place. In the same way, he gave it all up. Jahau yuveva malavad. Malavad means just like passing stool and not even turning back. Uttama shloka lalasaha. Because he had developed a great attraction for the Supreme Lord. That lalasaha. Because of that lalasa, he could give up. So there Prabhupada explains about what is detachment. Detachment means when you possess something and then you renounce it. You don't enjoy it. That is detachment. Like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they had a palace. They had gold and silver. They were very learned in Arabian, Persian, Sanskrit and so many languages. And they were most respectable, just as Nawab Hussain Shah was respectable by all the people. Despite all this qualification coming from a high birth of Saraswat Brahmin family, respected by one and all, they gave it all up. Taktva Turunam Ashesham Mandalapati. And surrender to Lord Chaitanya. That is very glorious. Because when one has all these things, and one gives up and surrenders, that is actually called as real renunciation. Renunciation of Raghunath Das Goswami also. He renounced his beautiful wife, who was more beautiful than Apsaras of the heaven. And he had wealth as much as Indra had wealth, it is said. His father was the richest man, big jamindar. But Raghunath Das would sleep in the Durga Mandap in his campus. He was living a very simple life, even at home. And was always eager to renounce the world and go and join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So why should such rich people, such opulent people coming from such high lineage, be eager to renounce the world? There should be certainly something higher that they are getting. Otherwise, why should they renounce? That should be well thought out. In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains to Arjuna, and with great difficulty Krishna is convincing Arjuna not to renounce. In the modern times, to tell people to renounce, you try to convince them to renounce at least little bit for God. In the Vedic times, you have to tell people what to do? Not to renounce. Please kindly stay at home and do the responsibilities. People were all fond of renouncing. That is why it is said, some kings married more women. Why? In the Vedic times. Because all the men would go to forest. There was a huge crowd going to forest, all becoming sages and saints and rishis, all joining Brahmacharya Ashram. Yeah. And very little men would be there. So then those men had to marry many women. That's why the female population was more in the Vedic times. So they had to marry and give shelter to the women. So this was very commonly prevalent, because people could clearly see the difference between the temporary and the permanent. What is temporary and permanent? There's a famous verse of Chanakya where he says, Samnivitte varam tyago vinashe niyate sati. He says, dhanani jivitam chaiva para arthe prajna utsrajet. He says, para arthe means for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Par arthe prajna, a wise man, utsrajet. One should renounce or give up. What? Dhanani jivitam chaiva. When one is alive, at that time one should give all one's wealth for the service of the Supreme Lord. Sat nimitte varam tyago. Sat nimitte means for the Supreme Truth. Varam means better. It's better for you to give away all the wealth that you earned. Sat nimitte varam tyago. Tyago means you renounce it for the Supreme Lord. Vinashe niyate sti. Because this world is a temporary place. And any time the body will drop dead. Nobody knows when. Any time we will die. Lord Kapila tells in the third canto, he says that a man earns money by evil means, by envying others, by some crooked method, and also by envying other people. But such a person goes to hell alone, and the money remains. It is said, he alone goes to hell, but the money remains in this world only. He explains that. Similarly, it is also said in Bhagavatam elsewhere, it is said that sometimes a man works very hard to earn money to take care of his family members. And in the course of doing that, he adopts sometimes foul methods. He may even loot people, he may beat people, or sometimes he may murder people. And he earns money and gives his family members for their happiness. But then if he is caught by the government, then who is given death sentence? Only that man is given death sentence, not the family members. Nobody is going to be hanged. Only that man will be hung. Of course, because that money is looted money, the family will be slightly contaminated. But only he will go to hell, not the family members. So Prabhupada explains there how the murderer will suffer all the suffering, and the enjoyer of the fruit, they don't suffer. The family members, his dependents. That is the nature of money. So one should know the nature of wealth, property and money in this world. So either money leaves us or we leave the money. It is said. So you may earn lot of money, lot of property, wealth and resources, facilities, position, fame, name and everything. But all these things at one point of time, by one slap of time, everything is wiped out immediately. So the Kala Sarpa, or the serpent of time, it is said, sometimes the serpent moves very, very slowly, without making any noise. It comes behind the frog. But who makes sound? Frog makes sound. The dying frog makes a lot of sound. He keeps making sound, but the snake doesn't make any sound. He comes behind him and then he swallows him. And then no more sound after that. He just devours him, swallows him. Similarly, it is said the time also in this world, it is acting on everyone and everything and everywhere. Prachanda vegat. We were reading that day. The word is used, prachanda vegat. Prachanda vegat means it is so powerful and so forceful. Greatest of the people in this world cannot stop time. Just like the best of the wrestlers who has the most healthy body cannot stop time. Or the most rich or the most beautiful or man or woman, nobody can stop the effect of time. Everyone is devoured by the time, which ultimately appears as death. So that is going to come in every one of our lives. So what is Chanakya's proposal? What Chanakya is saying, why do you accumulate all this wealth and prosperity and opulence and everything? Whom are you accumulating for? What are you going to do with this? It is better for you, sat nimitte varam tyago. Before all that wealth is stripped off from your hands by the powerful influence of time, better you only hand it over. You know this story of a man who had this puffed rice in his hands. So he didn't offer it to Lord Krishna, but he was having it in his hands, and a very powerful puff of wind came there. It passed by, and then some of the puffed rice started flying. And then what did he say? Govinda Nama, he said. That's what Govinda is. Isn't it? So that is foolishness. Similarly, after death, you don't have the ability to offer these things. Even if you possess them, even if you possess millions and millions of dollars, you cannot offer it. Similarly, our bodies also. Once you are dead, that's all. The body is good for nothing. It is simply a lump of flesh and bones, and it will be burnt to ashes. And you can't do anything with the body at that time. You can't offer it. But you can only offer it when you are alive. When one is alive. Similarly, money also. It is your money. You can use a free will and you can offer it. Same thing, all the things. Kaya, vacha, manasa, everything can be offered only when you are alive. So he says, sat nimitte varam tyago. It's better for you to renounce these things because this body is vinash. It is going to be destroyed. So Chanakya says this. So, when Bhagavatam says, prane rarteir dhya vacha, the prane doesn't mean one has to commit suicide. Because they said one should give the pran, isn't it? Dehinamika dehishu pranai rartair dhyavacha. What does that mean? Pranai doesn't mean giving up life, but living one's life fully for God. That is the meaning of giving pran. We have to live our lives fully for God. Satatam kirtayantomam. Or satata yuktanam. That is the meaning of giving pran. So one cannot give pran, then one should give the hard-earned wealth. Why it is said like that? Because next to pran, a person is attached to the wealth. Yeah, everything else is going to third or fourth category. But wealth or the property that one has accumulated. Sometimes people even give their pran for earning wealth. Or they take the risk, they take life risk many times to earn wealth. That is why it is said, if you cannot give your life, you should give at least the wealth that you have earned. Somebody gives the body to join the army and he dies in the battle. Or somebody gives his body for social service. Or somebody gives his body to become a live bomb or a murderer and earn some money for his family. Many people lay down their lives for something or the other. But a devotee of the Lord, he uses his body, gives his body for Krishna service. Why? Because his body is bound to die. The body must die. That cannot be changed. And it has to live only for a period of time. As Krishna says, at the time of birth, the time of death is also decided. But how does one utilize this span of time? What does one do with the resources given by God? It's a wealth. The body is also a wealth that God has given us for a short period of time. So how we use it is in our hands. So, great persons, let's say use the word prajna, means very wise people. Why do people think, why to use his body to perpetrate sinful activities, which will again cause another material body, and then the third material body, fourth material body, birth after birth. Better use this body and give it all to Krishna. They are very convinced. Bali Maharaj, when Vamanadeva came to him, and asked for 3 steps of land. Shukracharya came there and said, Bali, this is Sakshat Vishnu. He has come to cheat you. He will take all your property and wealth and hand it over to Indra and the demigods. Don't get cheated, don't give him. At that time Bali asked a question. He said, if Lord wants all the wealth, ultimately everything belongs to him. Besides that, even great personalities like Shibi, Chakravarti, and Dadichi Rishi, they all gave their life for their ultimate cause, for the Lord's pleasure. So, what's wrong if Lord takes away everything, including myself also? Lord wants to take even this body also. Why not give it to him? Because he only has awarded us. So all these things have to be used in his service only. So he was ready for that. So he gave himself completely. That's why he is glorified for Atma Nivedanam. He gave his wealth. He gave all his property to the Lord. Then he gave his own head, bowed down and was ready to lay down his life for the Lord. When the Lord demanded where to keep the third step. So, a wise person understands that by giving this body, which is awarded by God, one can attain the Lord Himself by that. By giving our body, mind and words to the Lord's service, which is just one short span of life, it's not a very big offering. But then Lord gives Himself to those who give themselves to Him. Lord gives Atali Himself. Lord says that. In one place Lord says, one who gives up the material world with all its opulences, the Lord says, Katam tam tyaktum utsahe. How can I give up such a devotee who has given everything to my service? So, Prabhupada writes in the 10th canto, when the gopis of Vrindavan gave up all their shame and all their anxiety and ran to the Vamshiva tree to please Lord Krishna and to dance with him. At that time, especially in the Vedic times, if a woman leaves home and goes out, then nobody will accept her. Nobody will accept her in marriage, because she should be under the protection of father or the husband or the son. If somebody runs like this, she will not be allowed back into the home. She will be treated as an outcast. So in such a time, the gopis of Vrindavan, they left all the things of the world and they went to serve Lord Krishna. So Prabhupada says that Lord Krishna of course blessed them, benedicted them, that your relatives will again accept you, and they all accepted again when they returned back. But then Prabhupada says one important thing there. Lord promised gopis that they will, their renunciation is supreme and there is no one parallel to them. The Lord very much appreciated their renunciation and Lord gave Himself to them. And the Lord said, you be satisfied with your own surrender. And there is nothing in the world that I can offer you. Because everything is insignificant before your love and surrender for me. So Prabhupada says, this is true for anybody, not only the gopis, Prabhupada says. It is true for anybody who renounces everything for the Lord's sake. The Lord becomes very pleased with them. And the Lord gives Himself to them. So, we can see that if one can understand that the material body is temporary and all the acquisitions are temporary, it will be taken away at one point of time. And the life is short, things are perishable, things are changing. This is a very fastly changing world and we will perish. And one remembers this temporary nature, then one can very easily give his life to Krishna. It's possible. And one will not think, I am doing anything great. What are we doing great? If you don't give your body now, you are going to give it up after 60, 70 years. Anyway, it will be taken away. Whatever is going to be taken away anyway, we are offering it beforehand. That is your only glory. That's all. Giving up all the things. Like this. So I was raising a question in the beginning. Why should at all one renounce? So one of the answers we heard just now, that San nimite varam tyago. For the sake of the service of the truth. Just like somebody gives his body for the country. But here somebody is giving body for Lord's service. And in this way becomes a messenger of the Lord. Becomes a representative of the Lord in this world. To propagate and disseminate the knowledge given by God. And to offer the culture of devotion service for the benefit of the world. and live only for the purpose of other people. So one can give one's body for that. In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there is a discussion that goes on about work, doing work and renouncing work, where Krishna discourages Arjuna from renouncing work. You'll find that. So why did Arjuna want to renounce work? Arjuna was worrying that if I kill such millions of people, soldiers in the battle, then I'll be victimized by sin. So I don't want to kill. You see, in the Vedic Varnashrama, all the four people can be victimized by sin. You see, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. All these four people, they have certain activities which they do as a part of their dharma, which may inflict sin upon them. For example, all four of them, if they fail to do the prescribed duty, or if they commit a sinful activity, in either of the case, they will be victimized by sin. For example, a Brahmana, if he does not study scriptures and preach scriptures, if he does not perform yajna and teach people yajna, if he does not live only by charity, or if he does not give charity, if he does not do these activities, what happens? He is failing in his prescribed duties. Then such a Brahmana will be victimized by sin, failing in prescribed duties. Same way, if Brahmana is committing sin, how can Brahmana commit sin? Sometimes he performs Gomedha Yajna, Ashwamedha Yajna. He is performing sacrifice. And if the sacrifice was not perfect, then he will commit sin by that. So in Kshatriya also, Kshatriya goes to forest for killing animals. He is allowed to kill, but only a certain quota. But sometimes in killing the forest animals, Kshatriya will become more and more passionate, that he will kill animals excessively. And he commits sin by that. Or sometimes Kshatriya, owing to his passion, may misuse his power in exploiting women or exploiting somebody. Instead of giving protection to children, women, old people, cows and Brahmins, so he may fail in that duty. Similarly, Vaishya also. Vaishya tells lies in doing business. So because of that, he becomes victimized by sin. Or sometimes Vaishya fails in his duty in giving charity. He accumulates a lot of wealth for his own enjoyment. Then again he suffers. Similarly, Kshatriya is seeing a cow and bull are being beaten up, and the Kshatriya does not take action on them, then he becomes victimized by sin. Whereas Parikshit Maharaj, you see, as soon as he saw cow bull being beaten up, immediately he took his sword to kill Kaliraj. That is the meaning of Kshatriya. He will never fail in his duty. Nor will he ever collect any remuneration for performing his duty. None of these people will collect any remuneration. Brahmana will give medicine, justice and knowledge with no single penny. He won't accept any money for them. He only will accept Dakshina, which is charity. So, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, similarly Shudra also. Sometimes the Shudra is serving a bad master, and the bad master may make Shudra do something against religious principles. So Shudra becomes victimized by sin, like that. Or sometimes Shudra fails to perform his duty, or sometimes indulges in irreligious activities. Then he becomes victimized by sin. So, all these four classes of people can, while performing their work, they may get entangled in sinful activities. Or even if they do punya, punya and pap both will bind us in this world. Because to reap the punya also you have to be born again. To reap the pap you have to be born again. So that entanglement was very much feared by the Vedic people. They never wanted to be entangled. Even to reap the punya they didn't want to come. Even to go to heaven and enjoy and come back, or to be born in a rich family or aristocratic family, people didn't want. People understood that rebirth means suffering again in this material world. So they wanted to finish off the cycle of birth and death and return to Godhead. That is why when one performs work in any of these four classes, just like Krishna says, fire is covered by smoke. Similarly, every activity in this world is covered by some imperfection while doing the activity. So no one can escape in this world from imperfection, and such imperfection will lead to sin, and the sin will make sure that you will be reborn and you will have to reap the sinful reactions. And for the punya you have to reap again, you have to be reborn again. So then what is the solution? Can one give up all activity? Is it possible? Even if one gives up all activities, you will see That there is a panchasuna. Panchasuna means five types of pap. Like, you know, when you scratch, or when you rub, or when you lit fire, or when you pour water, or when you clean the house, many, many small creatures are killed. And sinful reactions will come by doing that. So nobody can escape these sinful reactions. Even a person living in the forest may have to pour water, lit fire for yajna, everything. So naturally there is sin. So even by giving up work also one cannot escape sin. It's not possible. That's why Krishna says that yajnartat karmanah anyatra lokoyam karma bandhanah. You use your body, mind and words for what? For engaging in the service of the Lord. Yajna, for pleasing the Lord. For example, all of your devotees. So your body is a devotee's body. So while walking, unknowingly you put your feet on an ant. And the ant is crushed by a devotee's feet. So naturally, by crushing an ant, we get some sin because we are causing pain. But such a pain is eradicated by Krishna. Why? Because Krishna knows that this devotee's body is engaged in my service. So Krishna will eradicate that pain. Because you are not doing it knowingly, deliberately, unknowingly you put your feet. So because the body is engaged in Krishna's service, it becomes just like a rod put in fire. It assumes the same qualities of fire. So instead of you getting the punishment for inflicting pain on the ant, rather the ant will get liberated and go back to Godhead. Not with any of us, I am just saying, an exalted devotee, isn't it? Don't start crushing all the ants around, isn't it? The idea is that when a devotee uses his body, mind and words in Krishna's service, even the so-called sinful activities do not victimize him with reactions. Arjuna was killing millions of soldiers in the battle, but he was not touched by the sin, even an iota, not even a bit. You can see that. Why? Because he acted only on behalf of Krishna. Only for Krishna's sake he acted. So, in this way, Krishna inspired Arjuna to continue the work by quoting the example of Janaka Maharaj. He said, Janaka Maharaj and all is liberated soul, Jivan Mukta, but still he is ruling his kingdom. Why do you want to renounce? You don't have to renounce. Because if you are impure and you renounce, it is very dangerous. He said, it is better to be a humble householder than to be a charlatan meditator. He said, it is better to be a detached householder than an attached sannyasi. He told him, it's better for you. So this way he warned Arjuna and inspired him to do work. You see, sometimes the Shastras stress different things. In certain places, Shastras stress on accepting the grihastha order and accepting work. In another place, the Shastras stress on renunciation. For example, Arjuna is a young warrior, is a family man. Krishna is inspiring him to do his work by being a king, rule the king. Just like Priyavrata was inspired to rule the whole world. When there was a need, when the whole world needed a king, there was no one else competent. So he was ruling. So there is stress laid there. But there is other occasions where there is stress given on renouncing the world. Vidura is inspiring Dhritarashtra. Renounce the world. Go to the forest. Surrender. And Nagamuni is coming to Prachina Parishad. What is this Prachina Parishad? You have sent your 10 sons to forest and you are enjoying here? You go to forest first. And let them come back and rule. They will rule. You go to forest. And you are delighting in karma kanda sacrifices? Kriya Kandesh Nishnatam. You are thinking you are a great expert in Kriya Kand. But what is the use of all your Kriya Kand? Your body will be finished. And what is the use of achieving heaven? Heaven also is useless because you will come back again. So Narada Muni inspired him, preached to him and sent him to forest. And in this way, these people are inspired to renounce the world. And here we find, like Bharat Maharaj, I said, or Parishit Maharaj here, it is already said in the previous verse that he was a pure devotee. He was a first class devotee. Somebody may say, if he is a first class devotee, then why should he renounce? Ultimately, there are many people who say, where does God say that you have to renounce the world? Live with the world, do job, have family, you know, have wealth. Where does God say you renounce everything? Simply, you have to use everything in God's service, that's all. No, we can show from Shastra, God does say that you have to give up everything sometime or the other. Why does he say you have to give up? There is a reason for that. As long as we are surrounded by family members, we will feel an artificial sense of security and protection. And as long as we have bank balance, we will have faith that the bank will protect me, police will protect me, doctor will protect me. We will have faith in them. And as long as we have wealth, we will purchase and possess comforts and luxuries, and we will love the comforts and luxuries. So in this way, our love, our faith and our shelter is in material things. Such a person cannot achieve Krishna. Not possible. You know, to love the material objects and luxuries, to have faith in one's bank balance, and to feel artificial sense of security in the family members and relatives and friends, feeling very cozy and comfortable, thinking that there is no problem in this world. Everything is all right. In this way, one cannot become an Ananya Bhakta. It is not possible. So to become an Ananya Bhakta, one has to give 100% to Krishna completely. But what happens? One gives 50% to parents, 45% to wife and children, and 4% to company, another 0.5% to money or everything, and then very little is left for Krishna, 0.001 or something. Very little. But it is a tasma deke na manasa bhagavan sattvatam pati shrotavya ketitavyascha smartavyas chedya pujascha nityada. There is another verse also, similar verse. Here it is, ekena manasa is said. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, eka bhakti rushishyate. Jnanino hi prityartam, aham satya mama priya. Eka bhakti rushishyate, he says that. One who does a pinpoint devotion. Ananyaschintayantamam, that also. Without any other distraction, one fully focuses on me. So, in this way, a full focus is demanded by Krishna, because Krishna is called as a jealous lover. A jealous lover means Krishna does not want you to love anything other than himself. Does this mean that one should love Krishna and hate all other living beings or hate everything else in this world? No. One should love, if one loves Krishna, it's like a master switch. You put in the master switch, then all the lights and fans get on automatically. If you love Krishna, you love everyone automatically. If somebody says, I love Krishna very much, but I will torture other living beings, that means he is not loving Krishna. He is a cheater. One who loves the Lord must automatically love everyone. Because every living being is a part and parcel of Krishna. Mame vam sho jiva loke. So if you love Krishna, you will love every living being automatically. So we can love everyone, but in relation to Krishna. What is the problem? People love everyone and everything except Krishna. That is the problem. Till now I have been condemning, feeling artificial sense of security in family and relatives, and having a bank balance and having faith in that, and loving comforts and luxuries. Why? Because such love, faith and foolish security is condemned by Bhagavatam. Deha apatya kalatradishu atmasanyeshu asatsopi tesham pramatto nidanam pashyanapi na pashyati. Bhagavatam condemns it. You fool, your life is simply like a bubble in an ocean. And that bubble of comfort will explode very soon. The bubble will pass for some distance and it will explode. After which, where is the bubble? In the same way, one should not foolishly be absorbed in material life. It's called as abhinivesha. Abhinivesha means complete absorption in material life. One is in such a grand illusion that everything is safe and secure, no problems. One is thinking happy. We can ask a person who has lived in this material world more and more. It is very difficult to renounce. Sometimes I tell our, you can ask our Vanaprastha devotees. The other day meeting I was telling some of them, you know, we will offer a flat to you near the temple. Would you like to come and stay? So many of them are expressing, Prabhu, it is not very easy as you are thinking. You know, there are so many responsibilities at home. You know, you have to convince the wife. You know, you have to convince the children. You have to do so many duties at home. It's not very easy. Of course, they are certainly doing a lot of service for the temple. 3/4 of the day they are there. I am trying to pull them 100% here. But if you don't take devotees, if you take non-devotees, those are not devotees, they say they have no time even for 1 hour a day, half an hour a day for God, if you see the non-devotees. Like you read in the story of Kailash. Kailash actually, every time when Narada Muni came, Kailash was telling that, yeah, Narada Muni, whatever you say is very, very important. I understand. You are really giving good piece of advice, thank you very much, but not now, later. It's always absorbed in his material life. So, the more one becomes absorbed in material life, the more it becomes difficult to renounce. But here we find Parikshit Maharaj, although he is the king of the world, he has lived a family life, he had all the facilities, opulences, name, fame. He is number one man in the whole world, he is a king. So his renouncing the world is not an ordinary joke. Sometimes what happens to somebody faces failure in all directions. He goes here, he finds dead end. He goes here, finds dead end. He goes there, gets dead end. Then he thinks, okay, go and join the temple now. Somebody may think, okay, become a sadhu now. Because everywhere I am finding, I don't seem to be having any good prospects in life. Better let me have prospects in the temple as a sadhu. Somebody may do that. But that was not the condition of Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj had everything. Everyone was at his beck and call. Everyone was saluting him, respecting him, loving him. And most successful king, because he is falling in the footsteps of Pandavas. And he got inherited the kingdom very naturally, and he was doing very good administration. It was not that suddenly some stress came in his life, some kind of problem came in administration. No. Not that all the people are raising flag against him. Murugabad, you get down now. And then he said, okay, instead of getting down, I will go to forest, I will run away. No. He was having very good administration. He was quite famous in his times. In this way, although he was a very successful king, here Parikshit Maharaj is coming to the banks of the Ganges, completely relinquishing all the pleasures of the world to sit and hear the Bhagavad Katha calmly. He is a pure devotee, but a pure devotee is never satisfied in his surrender to Krishna. He wants to always surrender more. Prabhupada explains about Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj, although he was a pure devotee throughout his life, when the time of retirement came, very enthusiastically he retired from his service, so that he can completely engage in Krishna's service. Somebody may ask him, Ambarish, you are a pure devotee. Lord has sent the Sudarshan Chakra for you, to protect you, whenever there was any crisis. And even Durvasamani told that you are a pure devotee. Although you are a householder, you have been a pure devotee. Isn't it? Lord Vishnu said so many wonderful prayers in glorification of you, his devotee. So whatever you are supposed to achieve in life, you already achieved. So better you stay back. Don't renounce. Somebody can tell him, right? But what he would say, Ambarish, he wanted to do more and more. That Prabhupada gives an example of how a millionaire is never satisfied with money. Even after becoming a millionaire, he wants to earn more. Have you ever seen any millionaire peacefully relaxing? He will be putting those millions of rupees and making even more money. Similarly, as the devotee progresses, the more he becomes pure, his desire to dedicate himself also increases. More and more. He wants to chant more, he wants to speak more, he wants to glorify Krishna and his devotees more. He wants to be absorbed in Krishna more and more. So, in Krishna consciousness there is no retirement. In Krishna consciousness there is no resignation. It's an eternal service. Susukam kartam avyayam. It's imperishable eternal service. So, instead of reducing his service, or instead of being sluggish, staying in his own position, Parikshit Maharaj wanted to increase his devotional service. Why? Because he came to know there are only 7 days left. So he wanted to intensify his devotional service. So he went to the banks of Ganges. He understood that I have done whatever I could do for the world. As a king, I have performed all my duty. Now it's time that I have to intensify my devotional service and remember the Lord. Just like Bhishma Pitama. He fought the battle. At one point of time, he rested on the arrow bed, waiting for the time to come. Then Krishna will come and give his darshan. The right time, taking darshan of Krishna, he can leave his body. So he was preparing for his death. Similarly here, Parikshit Maharaj is preparing for his ultimate death in a very wonderful way. As it is said, Antakale chamame vasmaran muktva kalevaram. Otherwise it is said, Ante narayana smriti. So in order to remember the Lord totally, in complete absorption, keeping that in mind, Parikshit is here coming, and leaving aside everything of the world. Not gratifying his senses till the fag end of his life. Like the modern sense gratifier. Prabhupada explains in Paris, Prabhupada would see from the top of the building Some old men who are 80 or 90 year old men, they would be going to the cabaret dances. To see cabaret dances or naked dances, they would go, they would take a lot of money, go and pay to see the young women dancing there. They have no ability to enjoy, but still they will pay money to see the dance. That means the desire to enjoy is not gone, even at such an old age, beyond 80. Smoking, drinking, wine, watching women dancing like that, paying money, till the fag end of their life, till they are kicked by death, stabbed by death. So that is like explained in the Gargi Upanishad, it is said, it's like quitting the world like cats and dogs. The word is used, quitting the world like cats and dogs, till the fag end of the life, simply gratifying the senses. Some people are such rogues. Even after becoming 80 years, when they don't have ability to enjoy sex, they import monkey glands from India so that they can have little extended time for enjoying their life. Can you imagine? So this goes to show the opposite nature to Parikshit's nature. Parikshit is here, renouncing everything. Although he is king of the world, he is renouncing everything and rushing to forest to give his body, mind and words to remember Krishna. But there are people who, although they know that I am going to die any time, I am already 8-year-old man, they think, let me make the most out of it till even the last minute. They want to enjoy their life. So that is a sign of a fool. So sign of a wise person is this, as Parikshit Maharaj is doing here. He gave up everything to go to the bank of Ganges to surrender his life to Krishna. Of course, somebody may say, because death came in the life of Parikshit, you know, he ran to the banks of Ganges and gave up everything, you know. And he is thinking, now I have to. It's like, you know, somebody carrying a suitcase and running, and police chases him, and when a dead end comes in a lane, you know, he hands over the, you know, suitcase to police. Is that surrender? What type of surrender is that? Somebody may ask. Because death came, he went to the banks of the Ganges. No. Throughout his life, he was a pure devotee. That is explained in the previous verse. He was a first class devotee of the Lord throughout his life. Actually, all these kings who are Raja Rishis, as soon as you hear the word Rishi, you have to know that they never wanted to be king. They always wanted to renounce the world. But they were pleaded by their fathers and ministers and brahmanas, please kindly accept the post of the king. That is why they accepted the post of king. Otherwise they had no interest at all. See, Prevrat Raja is going to forest and he was made the king. To sit. Yudhishthira Maharaj never wanted to be king. It was Krishna who conducted the Kurukshetra war and put the crown on his head and made him the king. Prahlad Maharaj never thought that, you know, after my father will be killed, you know, I will be made the king of the whole world. I will take over my father's post. Did he ever think like that? He didn't want anything. He told the Lord, I don't want anything. I just want to be your devotee. But the Lord made him the king. Did Dhruva Maharaj want to be a king? No. After he saw the Lord, he became completely purified. He never wanted. Did Vibhishan want to be the king of Sri Lanka? Was he thinking that I will go and join Ram and once my brother is killed, I will become the next king? No. He simply wanted to be Ram's devotee. So we find in all these cases, a pure devotee doesn't desire to occupy any material post or material position to gain some name and fame. But he is forced by the Lord or by the brahmanas or by the devotees, because such a person can do welfare for the people. One who does not want to be a leader only can be a leader. Because one says, I don't want to be a leader, then he is made the leader because he can do real welfare. One who is thinking, like I said, you know, once I went to one of the temples, another ISKCON temple. So one new boy, one of a devotee, he saw me and he asked me, which temple you have come from? He was speaking in a very bold tone. I said, I'm going from Pune. Oh, Pune, I said. And then he asked me, do you know Radhesham? I said, yes. Then I told him, I'm Radhesham. Oh, Prabhuji, you are Radhesham. I heard about you, this, that, you are telling everything. Then he asked me, who is the president there? And I said, I am the president. He said, Prabhuji, you are president. Prabhuji immediately offered obeisances after that. Then he took me to the guest house, you know. And he said, Prabhuji, I'm very sorry if I offended you in any way and all. I said, no, you didn't offend me. He said, Prabhuji, you are president, you know, you got special mercy, you know, you became president. You are so fortunate. Prabhuji, my life's goal and aspiration is, one day I will become department head and then gradually I will also become president of ISKCON one day. I told my parents, someday I will become president. He was telling, that fellow. I said, you fool, you know what it means to be a president? You know how many things, how many headaches will come. So, he is thinking it is special mercy to be president. Sometimes special mercy is also painful. So, sometimes foolish people have a desire to occupy some post, occupy some position. Like one boy used to come to Atharva program occasionally once in a while. So he was telling after the program, I asked any questions. So he didn't ask questions, but he came to me at the end. He said, sir, I had a question. He said, what? How is it that, you know, these 100 people, you are making them sit like this down and you are sitting on an elevated asana and you are speaking into the mic and they have to hear you for 1 hour. You know? Can you teach me, you know, how I can get this power by which I can also control people? You know? Then I told him, as long as you have a desire to control people, you know, Krishna will never empower you to speak his knowledge. Then you can never become a proper devotee. You will simply become a cheater. So a devotee never thinks, I am controller of others. A king never thinks, I am king of the whole world, I will subdue the other people. Or, I am giving a public speaking presentation to show my talents to people. This is not the mood in which a devotee preaches at all. A devotee understands the knowledge to the best of his capability, based on the blessings and mercy of the acharyas, and he simply shares it with other people. As a matter of fact, just for the sake of sharing with others, for his personal purification, and for the welfare of others representing the parampara, just like some instrument, just like a radio. Radio has no glory, because the voice coming in the radio is coming from the station. Similarly, the acharyas, coming down the line, they are actually giving us the voice to speak. It is their mercy that is coming through us. So in that consciousness one should do preaching. So this foolish boy was thinking that, you know, he also wanted to control the people, manipulate the people, dominate the people. Or somebody wants to become president of a temple. Such a foolish aspirations. So Rajarishis never aspired to become kings. That's the meaning of Rishi. Rishi means they wanted to be Rishis. So Parikshit Maharaj was such a person, he ever wanted to have all these opulences and everything. So if a person is having all opulences and occupying a post, but he is a first class devotee, he is not attached to them, it is as good as being in the forest. There is no difference at all. Like Janaka Maharaj, it is as good as being in the forest. Yudhishthira Maharaj, it is as good as being in the forest. Even if he is surrounded by opulences. Because those opulences don't make any difference to him at all, to his state of consciousness. He doesn't think that I possess these things and I can manipulate these things and everyone is at my beck and call and I will dominate them. He doesn't think like that. He considers himself one of the servants of the Lord. So in the very times the kings would go to the temple in the morning and they would worship the deity, they would offer the mantras, offer flowers, worship, and then only they will begin their duty. So like Ambarish Maharaj and Janaka Maharaj and all here, like Kulashekara for example, these kings are absorbed all day in their consciousness of Krishna consciousness. That is why in the path of devotional service, the renunciation is not so much stressed for this reason. Because somebody may be surrounded by wife and children and family members and wealth and bank balance and opulences and everything, but he doesn't identify with that family at all. Like Ambarish Ford, for example. Ambarish Prabhu. He is living in a big, big family. Multi-millionaire family. But he doesn't consider that he is a rich man. He is dressing simply in dhoti kurta, you know, living like a very simple person. That means he is a renounced person. So those things will not entangle him. That is why Krishna inspired Arjuna to be a king. He said, Arjuna, you are my devotee. So you do your work for the welfare of the world, so that people will benefit. If you renounce and go, only you will benefit. But if you perform work as a king, you will benefit the world. And such ideal kings like you are necessary for the world to emulate your example. In this way, Parikshit Maharaj remained a first class devotee, rendering devotional service to Krishna throughout his life. And when the death came, even before the time of death came, he understood that one should intensely remember Krishna at the time of death. So he renounced everything. And he gave his whole consciousness, without eating, without sleeping, without drinking, even a drop of water, 7 days and 7 nights, with full attention, one-pointed attention, he heard Srimad Bhagavat from Shukadeva Goswami. And even before the Takshaka beat him, he ascended to the spiritual world, and he perfected his life. So here, the Shaunakadi Rishis are amazed at the renunciation of Parikshit, because he was a very great emperor, possessed with all opulences, and he was very glorious in the Pandu dynasty. So how he renounced everything? So subsequently, Shukadeva Goswami will be speaking many wonderful verses. So we'll stop here at 9:30.